I'm Sharkeys Goon. Today, Season 2, Episode 8 of The Mandalorian, Chapter 16, The Rescue. The summary is Luke Skywalker's back, man. Holy cow, Luke Skywalker's back. Luke Skywalker's back.
Well, I was trying to figure out the whole time, like, which Jedi was it going to be. You knew that there was a Jedi coming. You just didn't know who it was going to be. And I was like, trying to figure it out. And the next thing you do, you see a lone X-Wing fighter and you're like, all right, it's Luke. Let's see how they're going to pull it off.
Well, the smart money would have been Ahsoka, right? Because we had already seen her. We had heard the series. So you're kind of expecting Ahsoka to be that Jedi. But the entire reveal, like, let's just savor it. Like, you're watching the show and you see a lone X-Wing and your mind starts going, nah, no way. And then you see the silhouette and then you see the glove and then you see the green lightsaber and you're like, they didn't. And then you see the reveal and you see his face and it's like, oh my goodness, Luke Skywalker is back. This is what I've been waiting since 1983 for, even more than the sequel trilogy. This is what we wanted.
And Luke, again, was a badass. Just like how they made Boba Fett a badass, they made Luke a badass again, too. I felt like he was always a strong character, but I didn't think they did enough with him. And just the way he came in as basically imitating Darth Vader. Darth Vader came in with the Tantive IV. He came in, he was throwing dark troopers all over the place, crushing them, slicing them in half. He did the behind the back blaster ricochet back at the dark trooper. It was just awesome to see, like, the Luke Skywalker that you always wanted to see come in and just kick some ass.
Yeah, I'm always fuzzy on what the timeline is here. 3 to 5 years after Jedi, I guess. So this
I think it's 5.
Okay, so this is the equivalent of we went to the movies in 1988 and got Episode 7 and Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker at the height of Luke's powers. That's what you would have wanted in 1988. It took 40 years, but we finally got it.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, the CGI was a little rough, but you're also not getting a big budget CGI like you would if you were doing a film. And I'm okay with it. It kind of threw me off a little bit, but I fought hard to go, yes, that's Mark Hamill. That's Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out, did they find an actor that kind of looked a lot like a young Mark Hamill? It was definitely a little off, and I've seen some people complain about it. But, like, guys, what do you want? I mean, Mark Hamill has aged 37, 38 years. Like, there's magic, and then there's magic. It's fine. It's a story. It's a TV show. You got Luke Skywalker. So it looks pretty good, not perfect. At some point, you just got to roll with stuff and be like, Luke Skywalker.
Yeah. I was watching like one of the behind the scenes of how they did it. There was an actor that was very similar facial structure to Hamill. And they did the whole CGI de-aging on top of his face like they did with Leia. But the problem they keep seeing is the way the cheeks and the skin elasticity is, you cannot replicate it yet with CGI. They try their best, and you're going to get it 80% there where it looks like a real person, but you're still going to hit that uncanny valley for right now.
Yeah, but it's fine, right?
I mean,
what are the other options? Just you don't show his face at all. You recast the role. You know, you have him standing in the shadows and it's kind of lame. It's all right. It's Luke Skywalker. When you fall asleep at night and you're daydreaming about the episode, your brain will fill in the, oh, wow, that was Luke Skywalker.
I'm not upset by it. I mean, you see a lot of people complaining that they wanted Sebastian Stan to take the role of Luke. But if you do that, how many more people are you going to have complaining that somebody took the role of Luke?
Exactly. And I think the other thing that's good here is it controls the use of Luke. Like, I'm not sure I need to see Luke Skywalker showing up on The Mandalorian every week. It's not his story, and I feel that would be small universe again. You know, this was a major moment. Somehow a surprise that this never leaked out. Hamill himself tweeted, like, I can't believe a year went by and nobody leaked this. Good job, people not leaking it. But, like, you know, a little awesome Luke Skywalker for 10 minutes, I think, hit it right, rather than every week Sebastian Stan shows up and he's, you know, also one of the Rangers of the New Republic.
100%. The fact that you have Luke in a limited, like, out of two seasons of The Mandalorian, you have Luke in it for one scene. Beautiful. That's all you need. And now he took away Grogu for, you know, to train and see whatever happens with him. Who knows the next time we'll see Grogu or Luke Skywalker or what have you. I want to see where that other thread that was going on in this episode is going to go with the Darksaber and the who's the rightful ruler of Mandalore now.
Which is really good use of the expanded canon that's been built out of Clone Wars and Rebels. They're now building out this huge universe that isn't just about the Skywalker family, the Skywalker saga. We've seen that. We love it. Of course we love it. But yes, you can do other things in the universe. And I think that is what is so important about what The Mandalorian has brought to Star Wars.
Yeah, and you don't know where it's going to go from it. Look what this show has done, where it's just exploded with the other Star Wars shows now. If Mandalorian wasn't a hit, do you think we'd have all these shows coming out? I don't think so.
No way.
You know, Disney, you know, also shifted everything, or I'd say about 80% of their future entertainment stuff away from movies to the streaming service, because they realize they're going to end up making more money with subscribers than people going to the theaters. So by them just keep pushing more and more content to streaming, it's going to be great. And TV is not a four-letter word anymore. People actually get, you know, better stories and even better visuals on TV now than you do in the movies.
Yeah, you know, there's the pandemic, of course, but there's the reality of, you know, you've got a 70-inch 4K TV at home now. Everything looks great. Everybody's got a tricked-out thing at home. You go to the theater, you got to deal with other idiots. You know, times change. I'm not trying to kill off the theater, but we're getting really awesome quality at home now.
Yep, and I'm just saying, even the quality of the storytelling, not even what we're seeing, but just what we're actually watching and absorbing from the shows. You can't get that in a 2-hour movie anymore.
No. The storytelling variant here really helps.
Yeah. And just look what, like, a guy that didn't take off his helmet for most of the show, you cared about him without ever seeing his facial expressions. And then when he does take his mask off at the end with Grogu, you feel for him and you're like super sad that he's taken the child or Grogu away from the Mandalorians. So what is it going to happen? You know, you're left with a whole bunch of different feelings there. You're thrilled to see Luke. You're sad to see Grogu and Mando gone. And then you're like, all right, what the hell is going to happen with Mandalore and the Darksaber?
Yeah, and I think a good time to get out on the Baby Yoda story. You don't want to turn this into, you know, 9 seasons of, you know, oh, wow, you know, hey, now go see this guy, and then go see that person, go to that planet. Blah, blah, blah. Like, all right, you know, you completed the mission, and here's Luke Skywalker, who, by the way, has R2-D2 with him. You know, wrapped it up. You get the feely moment of, you know, they're saying goodbye to each other, but you know, that's tempered by your excitement that you saw, oh my God, Luke Skywalker. And now off to new storytelling.
Now there's two things with the new storytelling. Now, one with people are flipping out on the internet about why couldn't Mando give the Darksaber to Bo-Katan when in the Rebels or Clone Wars, I forgot which one it was, where Sabine Wren, yep, hands her the Darksaber, but all the clans acknowledge that Bo-Katan should have the Darksaber, so she didn't have to battle Sabine Wren. That's why she was able to just hand it over to her. There's no clans left. No clans like around that could say, yeah, just hand it off to her. So she has to fight Mando in battle. And then the second one is Boba Fett.
You mean the post-credit scene?
The post-credit scene. That
How cool was that?
That was awesome because just the visual of the shadows coming down on the wall like Luke did in Return of the Jedi. And then Mando just gets right in front of Biff Fortuna and he's like, hey, I thought you were dead. And basically Boba's like, no, you're dead. And now we got now we might get this underworld show that we've always heard about where Boba Fett's in charge of the underworld.
That would be amazing. I hope that is what it is.
Well, I mean, what else wouldn't it be? He basically sat on Jabba's throne now and it's all smugglers and bounty hunter guilds and all this stuff that now it's gonna go through that nexus.
And I think that's a lot more interesting than turning Boba Fett into also the Mandalorian on a weekly mission. You know, just do something else with it. Yeah, seedy, underworld. That could be a lot of fun.
And I just have a feeling that's where it's going to go because there is a reason why he was around just plotting and bouncing around and not going for the armor earlier from Colin Vath.
No, good point. Good point.
So I think he had a plan all along, and this is just what we keep saying about great storytelling. Look at what we're doing now and trying to figure out where the show with season two ends and season three is going to begin, Boba Fett, and everything else that's out there now.
You're reading my mind because what I love about the Luke Skywalker thread is this gets back into when we were kids and not every blank was filled in and you could be like, I wonder what's going to happen next. I wonder if Darth Vader's really his father. Is he screwing with him? So now here's what we know about Luke Skywalker. He apparently has Baby Yoda with him. At some point, he's going to form some sort of Jedi Academy and train his nephew. That's going to go sideways, and he's going to put himself in self-exile. That's all we know for the next, whatever it is in Star Wars time, 25, 30 years. There's so many Luke Skywalker stories that you could tell. Maybe they will tell. And if they don't tell, my brain can fill them in, or a comic can tell a story or a side story. It's wonderful that it almost brought that character back to life because you've opened up that part of his life, much like the Obi-Wan series is going to do.
Yeah, and who knows where the Obi-Wan series, like what that's going to bring out to us. What threads is that going to give to us that we weren't aware of that we wanted to know about?
Yeah, and you know, Boba Fett's on Tatooine, Luke's on Tatooine, I assume Obi-Wan's on Tatooine. We might start to see a lot more of that world fleshed out there in different timelines, but you know, it's world building. We keep using that term.
I would love to see Boba Fett like in Fargo. Like Fargo Fett.
I just want to see, you know, Sopranos, Star Wars with the Hutts as mobsters, Boba Fett. Be great.
Yeah, I think this might be, like I said, this might be that mafia story that we've been promised for years.
I want to tell you one thing about this episode. Until the X-Wing showed up, I think this was the least interesting episode of the year. Oh, it had a fantastic finish, and it's going to rate really high. But up until that point, I was kind of like, ah, all right, it's cool.
I think they did it on purpose because I felt the same way, too. I think that, you know, they had the little bit of like one or two little cool points, like when Mando was fighting the one dark trooper and the dark trooper just kept punching him in the helmet and the helmet wasn't breaking, but the wall was. It, like, that was just a cool like little fight and visual and Mando getting up and hitting the airlock. But otherwise,
That was actually the scene where I realized I had zoned out for like literally like 2 seconds, but I realized I had lost focus on the show. And I don't think I had lost focus the entire season, maybe the entire series, but for like 2 seconds there, my mind wandered.
Yeah, I didn't lose focus, but I was just like, why isn't this moving a little faster? Because it was a typical, hey, we're all coming in. We're going to go after, you know, we're going after the bridge. We're going to try to take this over, blah, blah, blah. Oh, where's Grogu? I'm going to go get the Darksaber. You know, there was a lot of stuff going on, but I think they made it very like chill throughout the whole episode. So when Luke did appear, you really lost your crap.
Couple of Battlestar Galactica homages. The way we saw the TIE fighters launch was very galactic-ish. Also, the way they had the Dark Troopers marching, including the sound effect, very Galactica-ish. I just thought that was interesting. It's not the first time we've seen homages to other series. We've talked about Mando's ship kind of looking a lot like the one from Battle Beyond the Stars. I thought it was neat they did that in a Katie Sackhoff episode.
Oh, it was totally very cool. And another thing that they did, like, you know how Ming-Na Wen was from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yep.
The guy that the pilot that shoots the other pilot at the beginning of the episode with Dr. Pershing, he was one of the bad guys in the last season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, that's cool.
So Disney, Marvel, Star Wars, they're all bringing in people that have worked on other projects and just mashing them together.
What also shows the security Star Wars believes in itself. You go back to 78 Battlestar Galactica. I won't use the word at all rip off, but, you know, clearly existed because Star Wars did. And, you know, some of the laser battles in space were a little similar, at least on a TV budget, to what we'd seen in Star Wars. And 40 years later, just to see them be like, you know what? That new Battlestar Galactica was cool. We'll throw them a bone here. I thought that was neat, and it just shows a series that's like not scared of other series. It's like, we're Star Wars, we're cool, we know we're cool. And it's not even an ego way. It's just like, yeah, you guys are cool too. Let me give you a high five.
Hey, who knows if any of the production designers or VFX guys have worked on both shows. So they might have said, hey, John, what do you think? Do you think this is something cool? What do you about you, Dave? What do you think? Yeah, we love that show. Throw it in. Just show a wink and a nod. That's great.
Yeah, and it's not like overdone. They're not making Starbuck jokes in the middle of it. It's just like, it's a launch tube.
Exactly. And the other thing, just think about how many, like, I think through the sequel trilogy and different shows that, you know, on one show you might see an R2 floating in the background. Another show you might see a Viper, you know, in one of the movies floating through. So. Oh, wasn't J.J. Abrams, didn't he have R2 in the Star Trek? And then on Star Wars, he had the Enterprise flying through as trash or something like that?
Yep. On the flip side, you've got the ETs appear in one of the Star Wars prequels. In Star Trek The Motion Picture, there's a thing that's spinning that looks like half a TIE fighter that's blown up. There's all kinds of references, but it's a cool thing to do as long as you don't, like, overdo it.
Yeah, it's fun. It's nice little real Easter eggs and not Easter eggs that were planted to be Easter eggs.
I'm reminded of one in Temple of Doom, the Cafe Obi-Wan. I think if they did that in Indiana Jones 5, I would lose my mind. At the time, it was cool, but that's like a little too much. But maybe in 1981 or 1983, it wasn't.
What about the hieroglyphics of R2 and C-3PO in Raiders?
I don't know about this. Really?
You never knew about that?
No.
When he goes down for the Ark, there's hieroglyphics going down like the gold posts on the side, and I think it's like right where the snakes are, and you can see R2 and C-3PO as hieroglyphics.
And that's like my favorite movie too, and I've never noticed it. I will go back and watch that.
I'll send you a picture of it later.
Awesome. All right, let's head to Mando's Shield Castle. Despite me being, you know, not all that focused for 2 seconds there, if Lucasfilm is going to give me Luke Skywalker, I'm going to give the episode a 10. They could have just had a still of Mark Hamill for 30 minutes, and I would have went, Luke Skywalker, this gets a 10.
Well, I kind of would have preferred an 8x10 of Mark Hamill for 30 minutes than the CGI, even though I'm dealing with it. I'm still going to give it a 10 because it was just a great episode. And I'm going to give this whole like story arc like a 9.8 throughout this whole season for the 8 episodes. You know, there was a few moments where it was but for the whole thing, it was an awesome show, and I'm going to miss it for next year not having it that I can watch it again.
Yeah, you're right. Every episode, I mean, and it was like a sliding scale, because if you look back now, like at the time we were like, oh yeah, the Frog Lady episode was pretty cool, but coming off Bill Burr and Luke Skywalker, it'd be like, oh, Frog Lady, like, you know, good thing Frog Lady wasn't episode 9, but it built and it built and it built, and every week we were like, that episode was amazing, that episode was more amazing, that episode was even greater, oh my god, Bill Burr, oh my god, Luke Skywalker, you know, so great job. Season 2 was awesome.
I can't wait for season 3.
All right. Well, much like The Mandalorian, Shark and Goon will return.